Every time when we meditate on the love of the Lord, our heart really touched by it. Because come to think about it, who are we that the Son of God loves us so much? An unconditional love. You know, our love to Him sometimes get cold, but the Lord never changed. The third stanza in the first hymn reminds us how He keep calling us. It's not when we were sinners that He called us. Because if you study the verses, you'll see that in verse 2, it talks about how He saved us. So in stanza 3, when we wander away from the fold, what that means is we were already in the fold. But from time to time, we wander away. We feel that the world is so pretty that it attracts our attention and draws us away from the Lord. And we wander away from the fold of the Lord. And at that time, the Lord gently and patiently, He calls us. He strives with our heart. And He asks us to return to the fold, return to His love. You know, it really is it's a very moving song. This morning, I'm not going to talk about anything that you haven't heard before. We're going to talk about something very familiar. I'm going to use an event in the Bible that we will meditate on the word of the Lord again. You know, the Bible is still inspired by the Lord, and He speaks to us through the Bible. Sometimes He speaks to us through the words. Other times He speaks to us through an event in the history. When we study the Bible, let's not just read it as a story. Let's not just read it as part of history. But accept the fact that through the word of the Lord, there is something that God wants us to learn. This morning, I would like to share with brother and sister on the event when the Lord, the last day of the Lord when He was on earth, He did one very marvelous thing that sometimes we wonder why He did it. It is when He washed the feet of His disciples. A very familiar story, right? We all know about it. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. Even though it's a very familiar story, we all know about it, but there is always something new that we can learn. I always remember Brother Christian Chen always reminds us that, you know, when you read the word of the Lord, you read the quote-unquote, the words, right? The logos. But sometimes this word can turn into life. You know, once in a while when we read the word of the Lord, a very familiar passage suddenly jump out to our attention, and God breathed His breath into the words and becomes life to us. I hope this morning when we read this familiar story, we will get the same from the Lord. We will pray that the Lord will breathe His breath into this familiar story. It's a long passage. John chapter 13, starting from verse 1. Okay, I will read for you, okay? Let's pay attention to the words. Because there are something that I would like to draw your attention to. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and lay aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which He was girded.
Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand. You do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Okay, we'll stop here. This particular event happened right in verse 1. It said, Now before the feast of the Passover. Obviously, it is the Passover evening. Passover is a very important day to the Israelites. They will never forget that their ancestors were slaves in Egypt. And they pleaded and they prayed to God for deliverance. So God delivered them out of Egypt, out of the bondage of slavery. So this is a very important event. Year after year, they commemorate this. Not only that, it is the Lord who told them to establish this particular day, this particular Passover celebration. So every year, remember, this has been more than 2,000 years from the day that they left Egypt. So for 2,000 years, year after year, they have been celebrating Passover. Okay, so it's a very important event. It's like Christmas to the Western world. It's like Chinese New Year to the Chinese people. It is that important a particular day. So in the city of Jerusalem, everybody were busy. You know, people were bringing their cattle to the temple, bring the lamb to the lamb to the temple to be slaughtered and offer a sacrifice. And they have prepared a lamb at home to be roasted and eat the Passover. So you can see the atmosphere. People were very excited out there. But in this particular room, there's a very solemn event. Very solemn event. The Lord Jesus was trying to explain to the disciples that tomorrow I will be crucified. Tomorrow I'll be hung on the cross. Brother and sister, if you read through this chapter, you realize that the disciples didn't catch it. Didn't catch the message from the Lord. They were still going along as it were just another day. They didn't really pay much attention to what the Lord has spoken to them already. So at this particular instant, brother and sister, knowing what we know today, okay, knowing what we know today, the next day, Jesus Christ would be crucified on the cross. So the Bible tells us very clearly in verse 1, Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father. The Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus knew about what is going to happen to him. If you compress all these fancy words, okay, what it says is the Lord knew that he's going to die. That's it. The Lord knew that he's going to die the next day. Now, if it were you and me, knowing the next day we will die, what will you do? How will you react to that? How will you react to that? Most people would be very nervous, right? Very worried. If you had visited people who were in hospital, even though they were not dying, you can still see the fear in them. Okay? Because not knowing where they are going, it can be very fearful. You know, for us Christians, we know where we are going. But some Christians still has this fear in them. I really wish we all know what it meant so that we don't have any fear in us. You know, when you read through this passage, did you sense any fear in the Lord? You don't sense any fear. You don't sense any worry in the Lord. It's just as another day, the Lord having supper with the disciples. It's not as if he didn't know what's going to happen. He knew very well what's going to happen. But there's no fear, no worry in the Lord. That's very amazing. Very amazing. Remember this background. He's going to die the next day. And he still stood up and go one by one and wash the feet of the disciples. Of course the disciple doesn't know. Even Peter, he doesn't know what's going to happen. So he argued with the Lord. You know, knowing that the Lord is going to be crucified the next day, he still argued with the Lord. You know, you can tell that Peter is still not knowing what the Lord was doing. But we are not going to go over Peter today, okay? We just want to go over the Lord Jesus. Here it says, why did he do this particular thing? Why did he wash the feet of the disciples? Very often we came to the conclusion that he wanted to show them how we should humble ourselves and wash the feet of each other. But I think it's not just humility that the Lord wants to tell us. Because in verse 1, it tells us very clearly, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. How is this phrase relevant to what is going to happen? How is this phrase, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end? How is this phrase relevant to him washing the feet of his disciple? Because the Holy Spirit put this in verse 1, obviously is relevant. Okay? It is the reason why the Lord washed the feet. Okay? And if you review verse 1 again, verse 1 has two phrases. One phrase is, Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from the world to the Father. The other part of the other phrase is, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. How do these two phrases relate to each other? What is the connection between these two phrases? Brother and sister. What is the connection between these two phrases? One is knowing, one is loving. Brothers and sisters, the Lord knew that he is going to die on the cross. That's the reason. The result is he loved them and he loved them to the end. Brothers and sisters, so often we put knowledge and love totally separate. And we boast about how much we know. Brother and sister, I know that we know a lot about the Bible. We know a lot about the truth in the Bible. But knowing them does not mean you get the result of knowing. Very often, knowing means just make us proud of ourselves. Knowledge, the Bible said knowledge can lead to pride. And so often, that's the result. The more we know about the Bible, the prouder we get. But here, when we read verse 1, we see the Lord know and he love. Knowledge leads to more love. That is something that we need to learn from the Lord. He knows that he is about to die on the cross. This knowledge itself did not lead him to pride, did not lead him to indifference. It did not lead him to being cold. No. Knowing that he is about to die on the cross, the Bible said he loved his own that were in the world, and he loved them to the very end. That's the result of knowing. We will go over that later on. But brother and sister, not only the Bible said that he loved them to the end, there's one particular phrase there that we need to pay attention to, brother and sister. It's the phrase, having loved his own that were in the world. Do you know what his own is referring to? Obviously, it refers to the disciples. And broadly speaking, it refers to you and me. All the people that has confessed his name. All the people that have accepted him as the Savior. Brother and sister, here it says, having loved his own that were in the world. The more we think about the phrase his own, the more we have to bow and worship. You know, when we think about our own, we think of all the money sitting in the bank that's in our account, right? When we say my own, I think of my lovely car. When I think about my own, I think about my house, my possession, all the things that belong to me. But when the Lord Jesus think about my own, he think about you and me. It is not anything that's in the world. It is you and me. That's how important you and me are to him. You know, we can never fully understand how the Lord loves us to such an extent. You know, when we look at ourselves, we don't find ourselves too loving. When we look at others, we find others even less loving. But the Lord said, you are my own. When he said, you are my own, what he meant is not just being belonging to him. When he said, you are my own, he is saying to us that he is taking full responsibility for everything that happened to us. Brother and sister, when the Lord said, having loved his own that were in the world, he's thinking about you and me. And he is saying to us that he's going to be responsible for everything that's going to happen to you and to me. Brother and sister, if the Son of God promised us that he is going to be responsible for you and for me, what else do we worry about? What else can trouble us? So often we do not fully appreciate when the Lord said, you are my own. We do not fully understand. We do not fully appreciate because of our human nature. When we think of our own, we think of things that belong to us. When we think about our own, unknowingly implying possession. Possession is to satisfy ourselves. From a self-centered attitude, when we say our own with the self-centered attitude, this phrase, our own, is very tainted. It's very tainted. But when the Lord Jesus said, you are my, what he is, he doesn't have this self-centeredness. All he is, everything that is in his heart when he said, you are my own, is he wants to give us everything that he has. That's where he is coming from. It's not being self-centered. You are my own, therefore you belong to me. You have no freedom. You have no right. Everything of yours is mine. No, that's not what the Lord meant when he said, you are my own. When the Lord said, you are my own. Don't forget, this is the result of knowing that the hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father. Knowing that he is about to be crucified on the cross. He gave us his life. If he is willing to even give us his life, what else will he not give us? Brother and sister, when we come to the Lord and pray, usually we pray for things that are material. We pray for things that are belonging to the world. We pray for this, we pray for that. You know, how often do we truly believe that the Lord loves us to such an extent, he said we are his own, and he will take full responsibility for whatever happened to us. I hope after we read this verse 1 of chapter 13, we came to realize how much the Lord loves us. And this love is not just verbal expression, but a love with a lot of actions, knowing that he is about to be crucified on the cross, that he make his heart known to us. He make his heart known to us. He's not worried about dying on the cross. If there is any worry, he's worried about us not understanding how much he loves us. And that's why he took this action of washing their feet. We'll go over that later on. Verse 1 is so loaded with blessings. Verse 3, brother and sister, if you go to verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. Even though this is a very short phrase, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Brother and sister, these few words is the center of the Bible. Very often you heard of brother and sister talking about the eternal will of God. We seem to think that, oh, this is a mystery. It's something that, oh, we cannot fully comprehend. What's the eternal purpose of God? What is the eternal will of God? It's so high, so mystic that it's hard for human to understand the eternal will of God. Brother and sister, using very simple language, it is the short phrase in verse 3 that the Father had given all things into his hands. It's just as simple as that. You have some doubt. You seem to have some doubt. Okay, let me read to you Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, you don't have to turn to it. Okay, I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us the mystery of the eternal will of God, right? Verses 9 and 10. Now I'll read it to you. Think about it. Compare to what we have just read in chapter 13, verse 3 of John, okay? Verse 9 says, Paul telling us the eternal will of God. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, okay, clearly, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now this is a very fancy way of explaining the eternal will of God. Okay? That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Okay, come back to verse 3 of chapter 13 of John. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Aren't the two the same? Yes, they are the same. Put it very simply, brother and sister. What is the will of God? What is the eternal purpose of God? And it is to put all things in the hand of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Having His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, head of all things sum up in Himself. There are different ways of explaining the same thing. That is, the Father loved His Son so much that He purposed in His heart to put all things in the hands of His Son. That is the eternal purpose of God. The problem is not the eternal purpose of God. It's very simple. The problem is us not willing to accept this eternal purpose of God. We try our best to try to reject it. You know, brother and sister, if we fully appreciate what the Lord says, what the Father said here, the Father had given all things into His hands. We try to interpret what it meant by all things. We try to interpret that. All things, maybe the universe, maybe all God's creation in the heavens, maybe all the angels. But very seldom do we accept the fact that when the Bible said, the Father having given all things into His hand, very seldom do we include ourselves into this phrase, all things. Very seldom do we want to agree or accept that the Father has determined that we supposed to be in His hand, that we belong to Him. That our whole being, our spirit, our soul, and our body belong to the Lord, the Son of the Father. Very seldom we interpret it that way. When we read about this, oh nice, the Father had given all things into His hands. But we've forgotten that all things include you and me. We still think that, oh, I can do this myself, I can do that, I want to do this, I want to do that. How often do we put this phrase into practice, agreeing that the Father intends that we belong to Him? Whatever we do, we have to ask Him. Very seldom do we interpret that way. But it's very simple. It's so simple that we seem to think that, oh, it's easy to understand. But we only pay lip service to it. And we hold back so much from the Lord. Oh, that couldn't be the way it's to be interpreted. It couldn't be. The Lord loved me. He will let me do whatever I want. When I come and pray, He loved me, that He will give me everything that I pray for. That's our attitude. Very seldom do we humble ourselves and accept this little phrase, the Father had given all things, including me, into His hand. This is from our perspective, okay? Now, knowing that, brother and sister, knowing that the Father has given all things into His hands, does He still need to wash the feet? Ask yourself this question. The Lord Jesus here says, knowing that, it's not as if He doesn't know. Knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and He still washed their feet. How do you put the two together, brother and sister? How do you put it together? So often because the story is so familiar, we don't pay much attention to it. But ask yourself this question. Knowing that the Father has given all things, including you and me and the disciples, into His hands, shouldn't be the disciple washing His feet? But now it's Him who washed their feet. Where's the logic? How do we comprehend that? How do we explain that? If it's not love, how can you explain that? Brother and sister, in verse 14 it said, If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Very clear, right? Black and white. Black and white. Yes, I said, Paul, will you wash my feet? You will hesitate. If you ask me, Uncle David, will you wash my feet? I probably will hesitate too. But the word of the Lord is black and white. Is that just a symbol? Oh, you said, oh, come on, Uncle David, it's just a symbol. No way I can wash your feet. Come on, it's just a symbol. Is it a symbol? Did the Lord say this is a symbol? When we have to do something for brother and sister, we hesitate. We find excuses. We said it's not convenient. Knowing that the Lord is going to be crucified the next day, he is more worried than the disciples. The disciples still arguing among themselves who's the greatest. The Lord was going to die tomorrow. Shouldn't the disciples show some sympathy, show some feeling about this? But the Lord was the fear. Brother and sister, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. You know, brother and sister, when we read about this, very often we overlook those few verses. But if you sit down and truly meditate on the word of the Lord, we find it truly amazing. Truly amazing. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. How can the Son of the living God die on the cross for people like you and me? We are just made of dust. We dwell in this earth, on this earth for a few years, and then we will pass away, and the world will forget us as if we never existed. And we are so insignificant. Yet the Son of God, willing to die on the cross to solve your problem, to solve my problem, solve our problem of sin. If he doesn't care, he wouldn't have to do that. It shows us how much he cares about you and me. Brothers and sisters, time can make us forget things. If we promise one thing, after a few days we will forget. God never forgets how much he loves us. It has been thousands of years since Adam and Eve sinned against God. Man can forget, but God never forgets. God, when the time comes, he sent his beloved Son to this world to die on the cross for you and for me. Brother and sister, this is a truly amazing event. More amazing is in verse 4 and 5, when the Apostle John described what the Lord did, he described it in such vivid detail. It's so amazing. It is not as if Jesus just washed the feet of the disciples and go over the event. But no, he says, rose from supper, lay aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Brother and sister, John did not just say that the Lord washed the feet. John described every little action that the Lord did. Every little action means so much. He stood up from supper. He laid aside his garment. He took a towel and girded himself with the towel. Then he took water, poured water into a basin, and began to wash their feet. And he wiped them with the towel that's girded on him. What it meant is, when the Lord washed their feet, he did not just steward half-heartedly. Every little action he paid attention to. Every little action. Remember, they were sitting around the table. The Lord stood up. Can you visualize that? It wasn't the disciples that stood up. It was the Lord Jesus stood up. He stood up and put aside his own garment, girded himself with a towel, and then poured water into the basin and washed their feet. Not only washed it, also wiped them dry with the towel. And then he put back his own garment. Every little action was described very clearly. When we do things, when we serve brothers and sisters, we very often we serve unwillingly, and even if we are willing, we serve half-heartedly, and we just try to get the job done, get it over with. Brother and sister, when the Lord washed their feet, he was not in a hurry to get it over with. He paid attention to every little detail. Brother and sister, when we talk about serving the Lord, very often we think about getting the job done. That's what we meant by serving the Lord. But brother and sister, serving the Lord is not getting the job done. It's not. If God only interested in getting the job done, God can use angels to get the job done much better than having you and me to get the job done. God has so many angels in heaven who can do work for him. So obviously, it's not trying to get the job done, that service. No, it's not. Serving is loving. How the Lord served his disciples is how he loved them. And he loved them is not half-heartedly. He loved them to the very end. He loved them because they are his own. That's how serving God really means. Not just getting the job done, brother and sister. Let's get this clear in our mind. You know, when we serve the Lord in the church, very often we pay attention to just the job, the task itself. No. How you do it is more important than getting it done. The Lord washed the feet of disciples. He can wash it very quickly. Get the job done. But the Bible was very clear, very vivid, very detailed. The Lord pay attention to every little detail. That's how we learn serving the Lord. It is not just getting the job done, okay? Not only that, when he finished washing, we are not going to talk about his interaction with Peter, okay? We can leave it to another time. In verse 12, so when he had washed their feet, he taken his own garments and sat down again. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" You would think that, oh, come on. Of course they know. You just washed their feet, right? It's such an elementary question. But the Lord Jesus asked them this very elementary question. He asked them this question, and he's asking us today the same question. Do you know what I have done to you? Brother and sister, he's asking you and me this same question. Do you know what I have done to you? Back in verse 7, the Lord said to Peter, Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." The Lord Jesus said, What I am doing, you do not understand now. And then he asked him this same question, "Do you know what I have done to you?" It seems to be contradictory. On one hand, the Lord said, "What I am doing, you do not understand." But on the other hand, the Lord said, "Do you know what I have done to you?" It seems to be contradicting. Yes, it is. It is because we are so slow to learn. We are so slow to learn. We don't understand what the Lord has done. Do they understand? I'm not too sure they understand. Do we understand? Can we truly answer this question? Yes, we understand. Let's keep this question in our mind first, okay? And we'll go back to this question later on. The Lord said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so I am your teacher, I am your Lord. If I, then your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Right? That's the statement on the surface, okay? That's what the Lord said to the disciples and what he said to us, okay? "You shall wash one another's feet." But is that really what the Lord wants us to do? Wash each other's feet? There is a statement here, brother and sister. In verse 16, it seems to be out of context, okay? If you read verse 16, it seems to be out of context. "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." What does this relate? How does this relate to washing the disciples' feet? "A servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." What does the Lord really trying to say to us? Okay, let's not go in circle. Okay, let's be strict. So when the Lord asked this question, "Do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I have done to you?" So your answer would be, yes, you wash the feet of the disciple, right? You wash the feet of the disciple. And I say, no, it's not true. It's not the answer to this question. Do you know what I have done to you? Think about it. Do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I have done to you? The answer is, you die on the cross for me. That's what you have done. You die on the cross for me. That's what you have done for me. You, not just washing my feet, you bear the cross for me. That's what the Lord wants you and I to answer. If the Lord loves us so much, he's willing to bear the cross for us. And he says, the servant is not greater than the master. If the master has to bear the cross, you think the servant doesn't need to bear the cross, brother and sister? If the master, and I said again, if the master bear the cross for us, we as servants, how much we need to bear the cross for one another? Not just washing the feet of one another, but bear the cross for one another. That's what we need to learn from this story. Washing the feet is humiliating, yes. If I ask you to wash my feet, you hesitate. You have to really humble yourself to do it. But more importantly, are we willing to bear the cross for one another? That's what this story is all about. It's not just washing the feet. Think about this. The Lord is about to die on the cross for them the next day. It should be the disciples, at the very minimum, even if they did not do what
Mary did pour the jar of ointment on the Lord. At the minimum, they should wash the feet of the Lord. They didn't do that. Did the Lord get mad at them? No. The Lord still bear the cross for them the next day. The Lord bear the cross for you and me. And that's what the Lord wants you and me to learn from this example. The Lord said, "Do you know what I have done to you? Do we know what He has done?" At the very end, He said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Know, do, very great contrast here. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Very often, we pay a lot of attention to knowing. We know a lot of things. We know a lot about Bible truth. But how much do we do them? The word know repeat very frequently in this passage. Verse 1, Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from the world. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand. Verse 11, for He knew who would betray Him. Verse 12, do you know what I have done to you? The word know appears so frequently in this passage. If you think you know a lot, the Lord knows a lot more than you and me. Therefore, knowing is not enough. The Lord knows that His hour had come. The Lord knows that the Father had given all things into His hands. He knows. But knowing is one thing. But He still went to the cross for you and me. In verse 7, Jesus answered and said to Peter, "What I am doing, you do not understand, but you will know after this." You will know. Do they know? Verse 15. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you." Here, the Lord Jesus said, "You should do as I have done to you." Jesus know. Jesus do. We know. Do we do? Brother and sister, this is the contrast. Knowing and doing. The Lord said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. The Lord didn't say, happy are you if you know them. The Lord said, happy are you if you do them. Brother and sister, this is a very simple story, a very familiar story. But the more we meditate on it, the more we learn the heart of the Lord. It's not just humility that He saw here. It's the love that He saw. How much He loves us. So, brother and sister, remember, if you know these things, if you know that the Lord has died on the cross for you, happy are you if you do them. Happy are you if you bear the cross for one another. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we know we are not worthy of receiving this message because so often we know a lot of truth in the Bible, but very little do we practice them, very little do we do them. Lord, on one hand, we ask you to forgive us. We ask your precious blood to wash our sin. On the other hand, we ask the Lord to strengthen us. Give us the power of your resurrection so that we can put the word that we have learned into practice, into doing. Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us to put your words into our actions. We know that it's not by our determination, but you have given us your holy life. We pray that you will strengthen us and help us to show forth this bearing of the cross for one another in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.